Do you happen to know, off the top of your head, what your vision prescription is? Can you say it? She knew it. Very precise, yeah. You know, when we tend to think of it, we hear about this thing called 2020 vision, right? That people, and what that means, and we've heard it a lot, you know, somebody, I'm 2040, 2060, 22,000, something like that. You have this, and what it means is that at 20 feet, that you can see what a normal person would see at 20 feet. I don't know where they got normal from, but that's the idea. 20 feet, then you kind of compare. So if it is half of that, if you've got 40 vision, then what somebody could see at 40 feet, you have to see at 20 feet, and on it goes. Here we are. Next year is what? 2020. So preachers all over the country have put together 2020 sermons for today or this next month. Clever preachers that are. Or desperate. Either way, So I thought about this a little bit and thought, let's think about what we need to see. If we go to Luke chapter 4, Jesus has come into a synagogue. They've handed him a scroll to read. The scroll is from Isaiah, and so he reads it, and it's this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he would go on to say, today, it's being fulfilled in him. He is the fulfillment. He is the one who has come to do these things. And the one I want us to focus on is this recovery of sight for the blind. Jesus came to give us sight, or to give us better sight, clearer sight. Jesus would use the healing of physical blindness as a metaphor for moral clarity, spiritual understanding, and insight, of seeing things the way that God sees things, or not being able to if we are spiritually blind. And so he came to bring this healing. Someone has called this our heart sight, what we see with our heart. So let's do a little vision evaluation. And I want you to think about this. Now, you know, when it comes to vision, there's all sorts of different things, ways we need to be able to see. We need to be able to see up close. We need to be able to see at a distance. We need to be able to have peripheral vision. We need to see what's down the road. We need to see what's behind us. But when we become too focused on only one of those, we begin to have some problems. So here's one of the questions I have for you. Are you someone who is always looking through readers? Readers are great. If you don't know what they are, readers, people who normally don't need glasses, sometimes just need readers. They just can't see real close, up close enough to read. So they don't even have to go to an eye doctor. They can go down to their local drugstore and find the pair, just keep trying them until they find it. They find it and they go, I can read through these, and there they go. So are you always looking through readers? Here's the problem. If you're always looking through readers, you're only looking at what's right in front of you. You're only focused on now and the present. And there are times we need to be focused on now. We need to be focused on the present. But we don't give any thought for down the road. We don't think about the consequences that might be happening for the actions that we engage in today. We're only looking at what's right here. Now, I'm not talking about we're not worried about tomorrow and that we should be worried about it, but we should be thinking about the actions we take today do have ramifications down the road. And if we only think about the present moment and what I'm experiencing, and usually what I want to experience is something good, then we can make some bad choices in life because I'm only thinking about the moment. Or are you someone who's always looking through binoculars? Now, why do we use binoculars? So we can see what's down the road. We can see what's coming our way, what's off in the distance. Some people, when you're only looking through binoculars, all you think about is someday. Someday. I'm going to get around to that. Someday. Oh, that's too far off to worry about now. You know, Moses, the Bible says, you know, when he made a choice to suffer with the people of God, to identify and say, yeah, I'm a Hebrew. When he made that choice, he gave up all that he had as an Egyptian prince. But Hebrews tells us that he did so. He counted. He'd rather have what God had in store for him down the road than what he got in that moment. And so we have to kind of think, you know, if we're always looking down the road, we're never thinking about what do I need to do right now and who's with me. I have to make some choices in the moment. I want to keep my eyes down the road, but not constantly down the road in what's coming. Or are you someone who has tunnel vision? You have blinders on. Well, what do those blinders do? You really can't see the people around you. You're not thinking about how your actions might be affecting other people. You're not thinking about what they might need. You're just only what I see here. We can become blind to the world around us and only focus on a little bit there. Are you someone who's always looking through a microscope? Looking at the details. And often when we're looking at the details, what are we looking at? The flaws. Nitpicky type of person that we would say. Always looking at small little details and never taking in the grander picture. And seeing what's going on. Are you someone who's always looking in a mirror? Always just looking at yourself. Always just thinking, how does this affect me? How does this impact me? What do I want? Always just thinking about you and not about other people. Are you someone who's constantly focused on the rearview mirror? Now, there's a reason sometimes we are always focused on the rearview mirror, and that's because we think about the good old days. We think about all those places we've been, and we just like it. And we can't see any joy and any good, and right now we're just thinking, oh, those were the days. Well, the good old days were never quite as good as we like to imagine they were. Or maybe we're always focused on the past because of some mistake, of some trauma, something that's happened back there. We can't seem to let it go. We can't seem to forgive ourselves or to forgive someone else. We're just stuck in the past. Or are you a person who's always looking through a magnifying glass? What does a magnifying glass do? Makes things bigger to us, right? And sometimes we've got an expression for that, making a mountain out of a molehill. We're always just blowing things up, catastrophizing things. Oh, it's going to be awful. It's so bad. It's so much bigger. Well, maybe we need to just understand that things are what they are. They're the size that they are. We don't need to make them any bigger than they really are. So what's your vision like? And what do we then do about this imperfect vision? Because we all have it. We all have this imperfect vision. And any of us at any point in time can be looking at things too close or too far behind us, making things bigger. So how do we correct that? What do we do about this? Listen to Jesus. In Matthew 6, we read, "The eye is the lamp of the body." This is Jesus speaking. "If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Light is another metaphor for the idea of understanding, of wisdom, of insight. So if you have vision, he's saying, that cannot let light in correctly, you're going to struggle in your environment. You're going to struggle in your relationships. You're going to struggle in your relationship with God and putting his word into effect in your life. If you have poor heart sight, then you are in darkness and you will struggle to make sense of life correctly. The implication from Jesus is that we need to make a change and get healthy eyes. We need to renew our vision. We need to correct things and see them as they really are. Well, how do we do that? Let me give you a few ways. If we go into the psalmist, we read this. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. That's that last verse I want you to think about for a moment. He who watches over you will not slumber. One way to begin to correct our vision is to keep our eyes on the one who keeps his eye on us. A friend of mine told me a number of years ago, he was at an IU basketball game. And he looked down, just I think it was just about a row or so in front of him, and then down just a little bit. He looked over and he saw, looking his way, a certain very famous musician who still made his home in Indiana, in southern Indiana. I won't give you his name, so let's just call him John. John, he said, was looking right at him. I mean, they locked eyes. So he kind of gave him a little nod, a little wave, like, yeah, I know who you are. He said John just kept looking at him for a moment and then just slowly turned his head. Never acknowledged him at all. Isn't it funny? Maybe you have some people in your life like that. We really want their attention. We want them to notice us, and they don't. And for some reason, we sometimes just crave from certain people that attention, that affirmation, and it never comes to us. But that's not who we have in Jesus. We have in Jesus someone who watches over us day and night. We need to keep our eyes on him, because when he sees us, he does see back. He waves and smiles when we wave at him. He recognizes us. He knows what we're going through, what we're experiencing, and he cares. If we go to the book of Hebrews, we read something else. It says, therefore, now in chapter 11, let me set this up here. In chapter 11, we get this long list of people who lived a life of faith, who made faith choices, kind of a hall of fame of faith. And after that list, we read this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people who live by faith, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on who? Jesus. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We're told here to keep our eyes on our leader, the one who's gone before us. He's the pioneer. What's a pioneer? Someone who goes ahead into unknown territory, leads the way, blazes the trail. And Jesus has done for that. And he's not asking us to go anywhere he hasn't already gone. And so we keep our eyes fixed on him. And when you fix your eyes on something, you don't look off to this side or off to that side. You keep your focus centered there. There's a story about a man who hired an experienced guide to take him up into the Swiss Alps. And after a few hours, he got up to a very, very high place, but something had washed away a good portion of the trail. And as he stood there, he noticed he's got on his right just a sheer cliff, and on his left, 1,000-foot plunge. As he looked down a little bit, his knees began to shake. You get a little dizzy, palms are sweating. And his guide said, don't look down. Look at me. Put your feet where I put my feet. Put your hands where I put my hands, and you'll be okay. And so he did. And he went where the guide guided him. And he went to safety. In the same way, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, putting our feet where he put his, using our hands the way he used his to serve. We keep looking after him, and the more we look at him, the better we are able to see. Another psalm tells us this: open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. We're told here to let Jesus open our eyes. To open our eyes. That phrase is interesting. I am a stranger on earth. If you've ever been to a strange place, a different country, and you notice that the sights are different, the smells are different, the people sound different, they talk a different language, and it can be disorienting to us. And sometimes you need someone local there to kind of help you understand what you're seeing and to make sense of it. And that's what Jesus does. In open our eyes, he helps us to make sense of this world, to see this world the way he sees it and understands it. Otherwise, we're just kind of groping around in the dark. The British Journal of Medicine reported in 2018 about a woman they found who had 27 contact lenses in her eyes. What had happened was she went to take the first set out and she couldn't find them, so she thought, well, they've already fallen out. And so she put in the next pair. And the next day, same thing happened, so she put in the next pair. She kept doing this until she had 27 contact lenses. Now, she didn't have a stronger vision 27 times. In fact, everything was blurry, awful. What's wrong with my eyesight? And sometimes, you know, we think, well, I know that the key to understanding this world is just to read Scripture and get theological understanding. And we need that. But we don't just keep adding the knowledge and adding the knowledge and adding the knowledge in. We have to take that knowledge and do something with it to truly understand this world. We have to go out and we have to learn how to serve and to put his truth into action if we really want to begin to understand this world and to see things clearly. Otherwise, we're just putting in the same lenses over and over again. I've been wearing eyeglasses since I was 8 years old, and I am absolutely and completely dependent upon them. I could maybe make my way around my house. I know it well enough. As long as there are no Legos on the floor, I'll be okay. But a step outside, I can't drive. I can't read. Everything becomes a blur. Anytime somebody says, oh, your eyesight can't be that bad, they put on my glasses and they get a headache. I am completely dependent. And I can tell you, you know, I got my first pair of glasses when I was 8. When I was 13, we went to an eye doctor and said, oh, he needs more than glasses. You know what he needs? He needs bifocals as a 13-year-old. And not only that, his eyes aren't closing up enough in the sunlight, so he also needs sunglasses, prescription sunglasses. So wherever I went, when I went outside, I had kind of like my eyeglass carrier right here, like a little holster. And if I went outside, oh, got to put on these glasses now. And I was always switching off back and forth. So finally, a few years later, an eye doctor said, I think you guys got taken for a ride. You're fine. But I still always need eyeglasses. And like a lot of people, you know, it's kind of a shame. I have to wear glasses. You know, back in the day, we didn't have fashion glasses. You know, here's a big, thick plastic thing. Put these on your face, kid. There you go. Nobody liked it. But over time, I've found I am so grateful for this. Because if I'd lived, you know, several hundred years ago with this eyesight, I'd have been the guy that got ate by the wolf or the tiger. But they've allowed me to not only survive, but to thrive. And the same thing is true with Jesus. I am not ashamed to say that I am dependent on Jesus. I need him every single day. I need his word every single day. I've found, you know, I can get by for a little while focused on myself, taking my eyes off Jesus, not paying any attention. I can get by for a little while, but after a while, I'm stumbling and falling down because I'm not seeing myself, I'm not seeing others, I'm not seeing this world correctly. and I get in trouble. And so I've learned not to have any shame in being dependent upon Jesus at all. So let me ask you, how's your eyesight doing? How's your heart sight doing? Are you too focused on what's near? Too focused on what's down the road? Are you making things too big? Are you always thinking about yourself? Too caught up in the details and missing the big picture? Too focused on the past? Too narrow in your sight and missing things around you? What's going on? You could probably answer that for yourself. You probably know, you probably had some people tell you how you tend to focus and what needs to change. And one of the beautiful things about Jesus and keeping his eyes on us is that he does see us. You know, Scripture tells us where everybody else saw a sinner, Jesus saw a future saint. When no one wanted to eat with a tax collector, Jesus said, I've got to go to your house today. When a woman who was caught in adultery was thrown into his midst, he said, I've got no condemnation for you. Then go live your life of sin. When the woman at the well was trying to hide from everyone else and go out at a time of day when no one would see her, Jesus said, I see you. And I want to help you see God. That's our Jesus. He wants to fix our vision. He wants us to help. He wants to help us see correctly this world as it is, to see our Father as he is, to see our neighbor as they are, to see the good for what it is, and to recognize evil and to move away from it and put an end to it. That only happens if we see correctly. So the question is, are you ready to have your eyesight corrected? It's something we do every day. It's not a one-time deal. Just like I can't say, well, I wore my glasses yesterday, I don't need to wear them today. I put them on every day. Do you put Jesus on every day? Do you pray? Do you look at his word and study it and make application? Do you look for opportunities to be generous, to be kind, to share, to serve? What are you doing so that you can see this world better and bit by bit, day by day, have your vision corrected to see what Jesus wants you to see? In just a moment, we're going to sing a song that reminds us that we are all broken vessels. We all have imperfect vision. But Jesus wants us to be healed of that. Day by day. Hour by hour. To put on our corrective lenses. So this morning, if as we sing this song, you need to come up here and use these steps like a prayer altar if you like, and just have a conversation with him about how you've been seeing things and how you want to see things different. If you want to just pray where you're at, maybe this is the day that you call on Jesus and you move from blindness to sight. You are buried in the waters of baptism and raised to a new life, calling on the name of Jesus. Or if you're an already immersed believer, you want to join up with a bunch of other blind folks here or learning to see correctly, we invite you to come and be a part of us. But whatever needs to happen in your heart sight right now, I invite you, I encourage you, I implore you, ask Jesus to do the work you need done. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning and a chance to consider your word. As we go into this next year, Father, help us all to be committed to seeing things more clearly, to to see your kingdom at work, to see how you want to use us, to understand when something is evil and to know when something is good, and to embrace the good and reject the evil, to understand that you give to us so we can give to others, that you have gifted us so that we can serve other people, that you have shaped each one of us in a way to make a difference in this world. Help us to see that clearly. Help us to see ourselves as we are and other people as they are, and to understand the grace that we all need to share between us. Father, come now and work among us as we give these next few moments over to you. Come heal our eyesight, Father. Heal our heart sight so that we may see clearly who you are and what you want to do in us and through us and for us. And in the name of the one who brings us that sight, I pray. Amen.